Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, God bless you. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. Glad to be here with you this evening. This is Torah Today, His Story. This is week two, and we're on Parashat Noach, Noah. We're going to talk about Noah today and just a couple of other things. I want to give you, first of all, the Torah readings for today so that you can go back over those in your own time. I am on granny duty, and so if you hear noise in the background, just understand that's my little boys in the back, my grandson in the back. Making noise, but we're going to try to keep them quiet so we can try to get through this. Shh. Use your thing over your mouth. Shh. This is what we're going to do. We're going to make it happen anyhow, right? All right, so today's portion is from Genesis chapter 6, starting at verse 9, through chapter 11, going to verse 32. And your reading in the prophets is Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 through 24. Your reading in the Gospels is Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 80. Read those passages. They are amazing. No, sir. They are amazing passages, and they're going to bless you. But let's go ahead and jump right into today's reading. Let me make sure this music is off in the background back here. We're going to jump right in to today's reading. Let me get to chapter 6 really quickly. I want to kind of keep along here, tag along in my Bible. I believe, and I said this before and I'll say it again, it is important to understand that if you can understand Genesis 3, 6, and 11 and the book of Revelation, you'll understand the book of Revelation in a different light, because you need to understand the beginning. And God declares the end from the beginning. So when you understand that character of God, then you'll understand how it is you're to get the revelation and the insight that you need to have to be able to function in what he's called you to in this season. I'm just absolutely excited about this theme today, and I'm excited about it being the beginning of the Hebrew year again, so we're right back in Genesis. What I love about the Hebrew culture, I'm not talking about Jews, I'm not talking about the Jewish culture. That's two separate things, and you can talk to me about that in my email if you want to. Two separate things. As the Bible declares that they say they are of Yehuda and are not Judah. Not Jew, that's a whole other word, and it happens in the translation, and it's for purpose, and we're not going to discuss that today, but I just want to throw that out there because I know the people that listen to me are Bereans, and you guys are going to go and search out the nuggets that I dropped. You're going to go dig it out. It is absolutely It is absolutely in God's DNA to conceal matters. He has to conceal it because it's not to be revealed to everybody, but it is the honor of kings to dig out the matter. And the word of the Lord says this, that the mysteries of God, those things that are hidden, once they are revealed to us, they belong to us and our children forever. And let me tell you why he allows it to be an inheritance for generations, because somebody took the time to dig it out. Somebody loved him enough to come after it, to go after that thing and to dig it out. And because they loved it, because they cared about the family that they were in and the people that they would impact concerning the kingdom. So come and assemble for the reading and the hearing and the reverencing of Yah through fellowship around Torah. This is the bread of life, and today we understand that we don't live by the bread that we eat alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So let's jump right in. Chapter 6 in Genesis. I'm going to read the first couple of verses to you. Of course, you know, we don't read the entire passage anymore because we don't do a two-hour broadcast, but I'm going to do my best to share this with you right now. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives." I want you to see that that's plural. "They took them wives of all," I want you to mark that, "of all, which they chose. And Yah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man." Okay, I'm reading at the beginning. I do have some stuff that I want to talk to you about at the beginning, but our passages for today starts out, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah." Okay, and then it begins to talk about the generation. So I wanted to read this again to you because there's some things that God wants me to deposit in your spirit before we leave here today. And it says that Yah said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is flesh. He also is flesh, yet his days," I want you to underline that word "also," "he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of Yah came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." I think I'm going to stop there because, I'm going to stop there. But I want you to remember verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah." Okay? All right, so let's break this down for a minute here. What the serpent was doing in the garden from the beginning was to make sure that his seed could be in the earth. He was kicked out of his former estate. And so in being kicked out of that place, he no longer had an influence and a way to operate from that other vantage point. So now he doesn't have that operation. Now he's kicked into a realm that he does not run anything, but he needs somebody that has access and control to run it. So we know mankind was made in the image and the likeness of God, right? Made in his image and likeness, that means he was placed as God in the earth to run the earth. So that means when the adversary was kicked down to the earth, when Satan was kicked down to the earth, he was not to be here to run anything. He was not to come here to have rulership or dominion over anything. He was not to come here to be free. He was kicked here to be captive, okay? And so now after he's kicked out, and the earth is formless and void, God recreates the thing that he already created. And then he places himself in bodily form in the garden to run some things, okay? Now, we know that Adam gave over the keys, right? I'm going to try to go through here really quickly. He gave over the keys, the access. He gave over the frequency. He allowed his frequency to be jammed. He allowed it to be contaminated. And now he's operating off a different frequency. And so when the Father comes into the garden where he constantly has fellowship, which he has commanded the man to be in this garden, to dress and keep it, to take charge of it, to make sure that it is managed properly, to be the manager of the garden, the environment, to create a culture and to manage it. Don't let anything else come in here because this is the place that we fellowship. When he shows up, the frequency is all wrong and he begins to ask a question, "Adam, where are you?" Not because he doesn't know where he's located physically, but because he wants the man, the God man that he's created in the earth in his image and likeness, to recognize his position is out of place and that the frequency is all off in the place. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Okay, so that was what the serpent was doing in the garden from the beginning. He was attempting to make sure that his seed, he went on this course to make sure that his seed was in the earth. That's what that was about. And so we know that when Cain and Abel showed up, we know that Cain was the seed of the serpent. We talked about that on the broadcast here, and that's a long, drawn-out subject that we're not going to talk about. But if you want to hear some of that, go back and check out some of the broadcasts before here. I think on Friday nights we've been talking about that lately. The intimacy that happened between the serpent and Eve and how she wound up having the twins being of two different seeds. Okay, that's a long story, but I've talked about that over and over again here, so you guys can go and look that up, search that out. So anything that must be brought into the earth dimension must come through the wombed man, which is why, and I know we're not going to nearly get through any of this, but I want to settle this. I want to begin to lay this foundation for you because it's important. Anything that's coming into the earth dimension must come through the wombed man. Who is the wombed man? The woman. Okay, she's the man with the womb, which is why the adversary didn't show up talking in the garden. He was already around. He was in the environment, but he never showed up on the scene until a womb was involved. Why? Why did he show up when the womb showed up? Because the womb was a catalyst. It was the thing that was going to make sure that the multiplication that God ordained, that Yah ordained from the beginning, when he said be fruitful, multiply, replenish, have dominion, all of that was a result of the womb of man. So when the womb showed up, when the ability and the availability for the seed, when the availability for the seed and the ability to bear the seed showed up, now the adversary is talking. Why? Because now he's scared. He's afraid of what's getting ready to happen now. Because now he knows that he's got two to deal with, not just one. The serpent knows I've got two to contend with, and both of these are made in God's image and likeness, and now one is carrying a womb, and that means she's going to continue to birth a thing. She's going to continue to multiply these God men in the earth. So I need to get my bid in. So he subdues her, and we talked about that. I want to go too far into that. So man's seed without a settling won't produce. If a man's seed is released, any seed that is released, if it has nowhere to settle, it will not produce. So seeds only produce when settled. I need you to hashtag potency revealed, okay? A seed sown is potency revealed. The hour of awakening of the womb is right now. This is why this is the age, the hour of the woman. That's not a chauvinistic statement. That's not a, what do they call those women? I can't even think of it right now. The men hating women. That is not that at all. I love men. I love a man. And so that's not the issue here. The reality is just the reality. It was what it was from the beginning. And God, he declared the beginning, the end at the beginning. He declared the end from the beginning. So here we are right back in this place. And be it known unto you that Revelation 12 has come to pass. That thing that was in the stars, that thing that God placed in the demonstration of what was in the stars on that day. If you read it in Revelation 12, the woman with the child, and she births the child, and the adversary is trying to destroy the child, trying to consume it, but he's not able to consume it, and so he wants to wash the woman away. Anyway, she bears the child, and then not only is she gone off into the wilderness to hide herself, the seed that was in that was spoken of in Genesis from the beginning, and his seed, this is in chapter 3, shall crush your head, and the serpent will bruise his heel. That's what this is all about. But you got to understand, on the other side of that, if you continue to read into Revelations all the way to the end, it's going to tell you of the seed and the sons that come of that seed. So that's talking about the manifesting sons. It's talking about us. And this is why the enemy is at war with us, because now not only has he been kicked out of his former estate, but he's been kicked out of his second estate where he had access to go before God when the sons of God went to have conversation with God and to accuse the children of God. He is the accuser of the brother, and he's been fired from that position, and now he's really at war. Now he's really got an issue. So the things that he's already began to perpetuate in the earth, the things that he's already began to do, he's hoping that those things are able to come into fruition, but the thing that he was not counting on was that he was going to get fired from his second position and that the manifesting sons, the seed, the incorruptible seed, would also be in the earth. So that's what we've been dealing with, is seed wars. So let's talk about this for a minute. The day of barrenness is over. I want you to know that. Now there's going to be life in places where there was barrenness. And this seems like it's turning into a prophetic broadcast instead of me breaking down. So we're just going to go with what God is saying, and we're going to get to know it in a minute. The agenda must have a womb to carry. Whatever agenda is in the earth, it comes through a womb. It must have a womb to carry it. And so this is why the importance of the Father giving man a woman. This is the importance of marriage, because that marriage is to show and to exemplify the relationship between the Mashiach and the church, Christ and the Ecclesia, the Mashiach and the Ecclesia, the called out ones, so that that demonstration of heaven on earth can be perpetuated. Okay, so this is why the enemy is so adamant about relationships, so dead set on making sure that you get misconnected so that you will continue to misfire and not reach your purpose and not do the things that you were purposed to do. So the agenda must have a womb to carry it. Let's talk about the ark for a minute. I want to get back here. It says here, but Noah found grace, and I've got so much here. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. I'm trying to cover some territory here. I need to go back because I need to cover this. This is some key stuff that I need to cover. Verse 2 in chapter 6 says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. I need to go back here because this is a key to some things, and we need to look at this. I want to make this plain, and I want you to look at that verse in light of verse 4, because both of these verses are describing some things, but I want you to look at verse 4 differently today, because a lot of people that read verse 4 See, when we're reading things and trying to understand them intelligibly or intellectually, and we're not understanding things by spirit, then we start adding things to the text that don't exist there. Nowhere in this text does it say that the giant slept with the women. Okay, I know I'm going to get in trouble with this, but it's not there. Okay, it talks about the sons of God saw the daughters of men. So now we're talking about sons of God. What does this have to do? That Hebrew there is Ben Elohim. That there is discussing the seed of the serpent. Cain was the son of God. Do you remember that the woman says this? She said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Okay, that word Lord there is Elohim. You've got to understand some things in order to get a clear picture of what's happening here. We're talking about men that have been that have received the deposit of the seed of the serpent. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So when we're looking at the sons of God here, we're not talking about the giants yet. We're talking about men that are of the seed of the serpent. These men, because they have a different spirit, they see the daughters of Adam. Are you hearing me? They see the daughters of Adam, which are men that God created, okay, with the seed of God in them. They see the daughters of Adam, and now they see how they look. They're looking at the outward appearance. Now, this is important because we got a lot of people who are dealing in outward appearances, and this is very important because in this season, you cannot deal with what's on the outside. You're going to need to deal with the spirit of a thing. And so based on the flesh perspective, based on their flesh perspective, they began to choose them wives. I did say plural. This was the beginning of wives. They chose them wives of all, not just one, but of all. So that means that they went into this selection pool and said, I want that one, that one, that one, and that one. And so now they're choosing wives of all that they would choose. And so this is what began to cause the father to be disrupted. This is the thing that began to cause him to be stirred, his anger to be stirred. His agitation rose in this moment because this is not how he created things. So I hear a lot of people, when it comes to multiple wives and all of these different things, they want to try to find a foot to stand on. No foot to stand on. The beginning of Genesis declares from the beginning what the plan of Yah was, what he was discussing, and what he wanted was from the beginning, and it had nothing to do with men having multiple wives. So I'm thankful that God brought us to that, because that's been a hot topic for a lot of people, particularly in some different religious sects, you know, and I'm not going to name them today. A lot of you guys know what those sects are. So it says here that he says that my spirit shall not strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Now, why does he say also? Because man is not just created a flesh being. He's created a spirit being. And so now he's dealing with the flesh side of things. He said man also is flesh, and I'm not going to strive with the flesh of man. I'm not going to contend with, I'm not going to judge his flesh like this anymore. Listen, I'm going to set up some things. I'm going to put some things in place. I'm going to wipe out some things, and I'm going to start fresh. And we know that what he does when he wipes out everything, he puts the rainbow in the sky. That's his secure promise, and I'm not going to judge you like I judged before. I'm not doing that before. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, you know, summer and winter, he makes a thing, he plans a thing a different way, because he says, I'm not going to make these kinds of judgments like this anymore. I'm going to allow man to do his thing. But those that I have to strive with, there's going to come a day when they're going to be cut short. I'm going to begin to cut off the thing that I'm striving with. I'm going to begin to cut off the thing that I'm contending with. So this verse in no way, shape, or form is to indicate that God only wants mankind to live to 120 years. Yeah, I know. I'm going to get in trouble with a lot of this. That's no indication of that, because we understand clearly when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about the first man being of the earth, earthly, and the second man being of the spirit, spiritual. He's of the heavens, and that same man that is of the spirit. Let's turn there, because I want you to see chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians. I want you to see verse 49. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I want to read this to you. I don't want to just give you the gist of it. I want you to see it with your own eyes. I want you to hear it with your own ears. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to read it to you. 15:49. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read it to you. And I know we've only got 10 minutes, but I'm doing exactly what the Holy Spirit told me to do. I'm going to lay the foundation. You guys do the reading yourself. I'm reading it, and I'm blessed by it. There will come a time again, and the Holy Spirit will give me the signal when we'll have longer broadcasts here, but I'm getting ready to go into a building situation shortly, into a brick-and-mortar situation, so that those that are wanting to hear Torah and that kind of thing can come in. And then we'll record those things, and you guys will have access to that as well. But for now, this is the mandate that he's given me. 15:49, it says this, I'll just read it, 47 through 49. The first man is of earth, of the earth. Second man, we're talking about Adam first, and then the second man is the Lord from heaven. And then it says, as is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So it's distinctive here. It's letting you know there are those that are just of the earth, and there are those that are of the heavens. But we are dual beings. We're in the earth, but we're to be heavenly. We are to be. We have dual citizenship. Let's start there. We live on the earth, but we're able to move back and forth into the different realms, from this realm to that realm, from this dimension to that realm, and to deal and to do business. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because that's how we were created. So it says here, as is of the earthly, such are they also that are earthly, and as of the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. But here's verse 49. It says, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we have all borne the image before we came into the knowledge of the finished work of the master. We all bore the image of the earthly. That was how we were born, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Got that? Okay, it says here, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So you need to understand that there is not just a corruptible seed, but there's an incorruptible seed. And we also know that the word of God says that those that have received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. Not only that, it talks about being a new creature, a new creation, old things passing away and all things becoming new. This is all a part of that, okay? So we're looking at men who have received the seed. They are of the seed of the serpent. And so now they are choosing the women that have been born of Adam. They are choosing those women to contaminate them. Anything you lay with, you're being infused with what they are and who they are. Just a side note, okay? And so it says here, there were giants in the earth. I want to cover verse 4 because this is important. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. That's one conversation. It continues, when the sons of God, it's giving you the time. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And we know that these men of renown, if we go all the way into chapter 11, we'll see that we also have, who is this? Oh, Lord. I can't think right now. My brain just went in a whole another direction. Bring it to me, Holy Spirit. We're going to get to it. Nimrod. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Nimrod is of this same seed, okay, because it talks about him being a mighty hunter before the Lord, a man of renown, a mighty man, a man of renown. What is that talking about? It's talking about Ben Elohim is one that has a seed that is of the seed of the serpent. And you'll notice that even through all this reading, as we continue, even though the Father has wiped out everything on the earth, we've got this one son that carries over the seed of the serpent. It's a perpetual thing. The seed of the serpent, he's continuing, not because he had any intercourse here, probably because he was just impacted. Because understand, the Father chose him, chose Noah's family, because he saw Noah as one that was pure. He saw Noah as one that was clean. It says here that God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. But when he looked at Noah, he said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. I want to get to this other verse here. It talks about Noah finding grace in the eyes of Yah. You understand what I'm saying? And it says that Noah was a just man. I'm in verse 9 now. A just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. He walked with Yah. So this, he has a specific character that's being exhibited. Talking about frequency for a minute here. He did not allow his seed to be contaminated. He was not contaminated. He was not in this mixing. See, the mixing began before the mixing of the languages began, which is why God had to confound the languages, because the mixing that had begun with the seed of the serpent created a certain environment, created a certain frequency. And so now God is looking to reset the frequency. This is why he covers the earth with the water. He allows the waters to break from the heavens and under the earth to break and to cause everything that had the breath of life in it to die. Somehow this son has been impacted by the seed of the serpent because he brings it over. And we know that Noah, as he begins to be a husbandman before the Lord, he creates a vine. He actually begins to dress and to keep in a different way. He begins to plant. He begins to manage the garden in a different way. And he plants these vines, these grape vines. And we know that at the maturity of these grapes, he gets these grapes, he makes some wine, he drinks it, he becomes drunk. And his son comes in and sees him naked. He comes in and looks upon his father's nakedness. Now, all of these boys were married. okay? All of these boys were married. He comes in and he looks upon his father's nakedness. I want to find this really quickly. He looks upon his father's nakedness. I believe it is in chapter 9. Verse 21, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. So he's in the confidence of his place, in the confidence of where he's abiding. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren. So he sees the nakedness. Oh, God, I could just go down a whole bunch of prophetic rabbit holes and apostolic rabbit holes right here just talking about this. You've seen somebody uncovered. You've seen the nakedness and beginning to tell other people. I'm talking about you're supposed to be a covering because of how you're related. You're supposed to be a covering because you recognize the relationship and how you've been connected, divinely connected, covenantly. But instead of that, you're uncovering. I'm not talking about you uncovering wickedness. That's a whole other story. So we're not going to try to compare apples to oranges. Right now, what I'm talking about is people that are to be in covenant with one another, allowing the nakedness of that person to be revealed and to allow other people to come in and see their nakedness instead of coming in to cover them. You allow others to come in. You want to usher others in to see their nakedness. That's a whole nother story. Okay, so let's get back to this. I wanted to say this, too, about Noah. I believe Noah to be the apostolic general contractor. He was one of the first apostolic in nature because apostles build. And for those that are apostles, for those of you that are listening, this is a really good place for you to start understanding what the apostleship is about. When you look, how about that apostleship? Right. This is a good place for you to understand what apostleship is about because this building comes from God. It comes from Yah. The blueprint for what you're about to build comes from Him. It comes from His throne. And then you begin to build even in places that you never knew anything about. It's not about your knowledge. It's not about your ability in the season. It's about your availability to receive the downloads, to be a reception for the frequency of heaven. The satellite, the heaven satellite, is releasing the beams and the information. Spiritual downloads are happening daily, and you have to be the receptor in the earth to be able to receive the signals, to be able to receive the frequency of God, so that you can also be the transmitter. That's apostolic foundation. That's apostolic 101. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I just wanted to throw that out there. It says here, I wanted to talk about him being righteous in his generation, but let's go back. Let's go back. I have to say this. The ark. I want to talk about the ark before I get off because I've only got 2 minutes. I want to throw this out there. The ark is a covering. It's a temporary house. It's a shelter. I want you to look at the ark. And when you look at the ark, you need to look at the ark of the covenant. You need to look at both of these things because they are simply, even the tabernacle, the temple, these things were all physical types and shadows of what was to come. They're physical types and shadows of not just what was going to be released in the earth through the Mashiach, but who the sons of God were to be. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So this ark prophetically is an actualization of the blueprint, the type of shelter that we were to be. Are you hearing me? I love the fact that the ark, also the Holy Spirit told me that this ark was a form of citadel. It's a stronghold. It's a fortified place. Are you listening to me? And I wish I really had time to go into all of this, but I'm going to need you to go and look this up. It says right here that the ark, I want you to look at this ark because I want to say this to you. The men are to be the arks. Men are to be the arks that are lifted above the devastation. There's a lot of devastation going on in the earth. And how this ark was made was of trees and that thing of gopher wood. That's not a particular wood. It's a particular, I'm not going to say it's not a particular wood, but gopher was not the wood. It is not called gopher wood. It's the type of wood that it is. And that word gopher there, it actually probably is copher, which denotes that it's a resinous wood. It's so much here. Listen, men were seen as trees in the Bible, and the purpose of trees was to bring provision based on season and need, whether it was leaves for covering, whether it was fruit for eating. Lots here. Men are the arks that are lifted above the devastation and have been made have to have made room for others to find room to enter and be carried above also their devastation as well. So it's type and shadow of the Mashiach and the manifesting sun. I wish I had more time to really get into this. We are trained, we're processed to enter realms and dimensions that we might become them in another season. Listen, I love you so much. I hope that you were blessed by today's broadcast. Read those readings today and allow God to bless you. If you need to get in touch with me, Kingdom Ambassadors 247, Kingdom Ambassadors 247 @gmail.com. Listen, till the next time we come together, I want you to know that you are blessed, and I don't want you to forget it. God bless you.